Good morning, this is Brian Trumbor with your Week in Review for May 19th. I apologize that this is quite late, and hopefully the next one will be relatively on time. Anyway, this was one of the weeks where in not just the United States, but also around the globe, it was two steps back and one forward, if that, as opposed to what had been the prevailing trend of two forward and one back. The bears, such as economist Nouriel Roubini and Paul Krugman, won the battle this time as there was evidence any incipient recovery could be on hold a bit longer. To wit, in China, industrial production was up 7.3% in April, but this was less than expected, as was the figure on retail sales there, up 14.8% year over year, but not nearly as good as we want it to be. And while urban fixed income investment rose 30.5% for the first 4 months, thanks to China's stimulus program, exports were down another 22% in April. Awful. Bottom line, there are some who worry China's focus on infrastructure projects is simply another bubble in the making, especially when it's clear many sectors of the economy already have too much capacity. And China isn't doing enough to juice domestic demand to make up for the plunge in exports. All I can do is point to my personal experiences over there, including last November, and observe there are still a ton of needed infrastructure projects, especially away from the major cities. Meanwhile, consumer prices in China fell 1.5% in April from a year earlier. Australia's GDP is now projected to decline 1.5% for the June 2009 fiscal year, more than originally forecast, and now the Aussies will be dealing with record deficits through 2016, owing to the focus on their own infrastructure spending to keep the economy going. Of course, that means more paper to be sopped up by investors, potentially at the expense of our own deficit funding requirements, i.e. higher interest rates down the road seem inevitable. In Europe, GDP figures for the first quarter were atrocious, down 2.5% for the Eurozone as a whole. Germany's came in down 3.8% over the fourth quarter, down 2.2% year over year. Italy's declined 2.4%, France's 1.2%, and Spain's GDP was down 1.8%. All of that, again, is for the first quarter. In all cases, either multi-year or record declines, since records started being kept on such measures. In the UK, unemployment hit 7.1%. It's now 8.3% in Germany, while manufacturing in the UK declined in March, though it was better than expected. And thus, here's the rub. Yes, the figures for the first quarter were terrible virtually everywhere, but beginning with the March data, we began to see news of the less worse than expected variety that signaled a bottoming in global economic activity, and for the most part, the April data has complied. But does that spell an actual recovery with real growth? Paul Krugman says a rapid recovery is, quote, extremely unlikely to materialize. Krugman, who has spent the week in China, said it was not clear whether their economy would truly recover, and he offered, quote, I mostly worry that the U.S. and the Eurozone will have Japanese-type lost decades. Krugman adds a second stimulus is becoming clearly urgent. The bank stress test only bought the Obama administration more time, but it's unclear if the banks still have enough capital to fulfill their key role in the economy. Krugman and Roubini have long been calling for some of the big banks to be nationalized. What of the banks? The great Meredith Whitney says she wouldn't touch them as an investment. Her big point the past few months is that the consumer is continuing to see their credit lines cut and that, quote, credit contraction is happening at an accelerated pace, close quote. This obviously impacts future levels of consumer spending, and the banks need a strong consumer to grow out of their capital shortfalls. For now, Whitney adds, the banks are simply manufacturing earnings as they continue to sit on rotting assets. But it was encouraging that post-stress test, banks such as Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Morgan Stanley were able to raise sizable sums of capital, not only proving that there is an appetite for risk out there, but also that credit is loosening. Even Microsoft unleashed its first debt offering ever, some $3.75 billion in bonds with various maturities, including a 30-year piece of paper that yielded 5.2%, or about 100 basis points over the 30-year Treasury. For AAA credit, one of the few left in the universe, not a bad investment, particularly for institutions. In fact, every Tom, Dick, and Harry seemed to be attempting to raise capital this week, as there was a flood of secondary stock offerings that mostly went off well, despite the dilution to existing shareholders. Ford raised over $1.6 billion in this manner. So there were solid signs that the capital markets were functioning, if not reasonably healthy. Turning to housing, the National Association of Realtors said the median sales price was down 14% in the first quarter, with declines in 134 of 152 metro areas. Incredibly, the median price in the Cape Coral-Fort Myers area is down 59% in 1 year, according to these folks. Realty Track said in the month of April that there was a 32% increase in homes at risk of foreclosure from a year ago, but only 1% from March levels. Foreclosures were actually down in Nevada in April. Some rays of sunshine filtering through the clouds, you might say. The mortgage rate on a 30-year fix, critically, is also hanging in at the 5% level despite the move up in interest rates the past month, though that reversed somewhat this past week. But there has been much talk of the pending disaster on the commercial real estate front, particularly with the exposure in the regional bank community. And there is no doubt there is an issue with construction loans of all types, whether it's office buildings, condos, or mall projects. I just don't believe this is anywhere near as serious for the economy as a whole as residential real estate, which has everything to do with the wealth effect and consumer attitudes. Commercial real estate is about banks taking a hit, so you certainly want to be cautious when investing in the sector, but it's a narrower issue and company-specific. As for the auto industry, the elimination of 789 Chrysler dealerships and 1,100 at General Motors makes for awful headlines and real pain, particularly in small-town America. Though in the case of GM, at least the dealers are remaining open for a few more weeks, pending discussions, as the company put it. What remains to be seen is what will happen with the inventory. As I write, GM said it will take theirs back. Chrysler, on the other hand, has told dealers they have to dispose of it on their own. GM would also appear on the brink of filing for bankruptcy, but I like what AutoNation's Mike Jackson said on CNBC Friday morning. As painful as this whole process has been, we are witnessing the, quote, reinvention of the U.S. auto business, close quote. It will emerge stronger on the other end. The market's recent winning ways hit a roadblock as shares fell across the board in the broadest decline since the first week in March when we were hitting the lows. The Dow Jones lost 3.6% to 82.68. The S&P 500 lost 5.1%, and NASDAQ fell 3.4%. NASDAQ's losses were limited a bit by news Intel's orders were a little better than expected, while semiconductor equipment maker Applied Materials said it thought demand was rising off the bottom. Some retailers, such as Kohl's and JCPenney, offered up better than expected results, while Walmart's were in line. But no doubt, as I wrote last time, we need to see some actual growth in the coming months to warrant current valuations and to give investors cause for renewed buying. My next week in review is going to be Sunday, which is May 24th, probably later in the afternoon. Doing a little traveling these past few weeks. Hope you understand. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.